welcome to the sixth season of For the Quantum Grammar Shoot podcast. I'm your host, Jason-Matthew Glass, and in this season, I'm going to be concentrating much more on the grammar and sharing my knowledge thereof. To those listeners who are serious about the grammar and are serious about learning it and about learning the benefits that it can present to you as a tool in your navigations through your day-to-day life. Thank you very much for joining me. Caveat emptor, extra special exclusive bonus announcement. Anything you hear in the following podcast is not meant to be construed as legal or lawful advice or counsel. It's just simply for fun, educational, and entertainment purposes, just for a laugh about fictitious scenarios. Enjoy. Let's talk about a topic that a lot of people ask me about. And the majority of people that ask me about this topic only are familiar with correct sentence structure, communication, parse, syntax, grammar on a theoretical level. Most of them. They want to know how it's going to work, quote unquote, in a court, and so on and so forth. Well, you can explain theoretically to someone how a car engine works. But if they ever are put on the spot while they're driving the car to get out, to get out and explain and give closure on each working mechanism of the engine, and give closure on how everything works together and the flow of the mechanics, they probably won't be able to do it. And this is the level of closure that one needs with correct sentence structure if one is going to walk into those arenas. One must have closure on the grammar mechanics of what it is they're doing. They can't just drive the car there and that's it. In order to be successful, they have to give closure on the mechanics. Most times. Some people might get lucky. I don't know. I've never known anyone to get lucky like that. And besides that, I personally don't participate with the concept of luck. In any case, that's what this podcast is going to be about. Because I was just watching a Zoom courtroom proceeding. Now, wrap your head around that once. But I subscribe to all these judges and their channels just to see what they do in their little domain. And it's always the same, pretty much always the same. The way they treat people, the way they explain things, the judge mechanics. Let's put it this way. Everything that Colin David Eiffelman, Colin Miller taught about courtrooms and the way judges act and what they say and why they say it, I found to be pretty much on the nose just from watching. Now, as far as using correct sentence structure in a form vessel in dry dock, I myself have not experienced that. And the reason for that is because I've never had to. I've always handled my cases through the post office. It never went to that form vessel in dry dock. I used my postal court to take care of these things, and I never had to walk into a form vessel, thankfully. Now, of course, if I have to do that, I'm more than willing to do that, and I can do that with confidence because I have closure on the grammar I'm using. I've been 100% successful with it up to this point in time, and I don't see any reason why that wouldn't continue. So first of all, let's examine the reason why you would go to court anyways. What is the reason why you would go in there? You can't be forced into it unless you are physically restrained and held in prison. Then you have no choice in the matter. They can just force you to go in there. But if you're not in prison, you're not in jail, you're walking around and you get a quote-unquote summons, you don't have to go if you don't want to go. The thing is about contract is it's about consent. It's about permission. If you accept the summons, then you accept yourself as part of this game, and now you're playing the fiction game. Now, of course, this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. For knowledge cultivation purposes, it's a podcast of opinion. I'm not advising anyone to do something or not to do something. I'm not a legal advisor. I'm not a legal counselor. What I'm using is common sense logic with what I know about contract. I'm talking about contract. I'm not talking about fiction babble jurisdiction in courts. I'm talking about the general idea of contract. Contract is by consent. No one can force you to do anything unless they physically overpower you, one, or two, the quote-unquote non-tangible concept of fear gets a hook in your brain or your heart and modifies your thinking into being afraid, and then you comply with whatever they're telling you to do. But that is your choice. You are not forced to do that. Just like people talking about the jab and testing and mask and whatever they're talking about. This is all by choice. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. But you also must understand that there could be possible repercussions for not doing these things. You have to know what you're doing. Period. End of story. You have to be knowledgeable and savvy and skillful enough to have the knowledge to maintain a position as a safeguard against trespass. Again, I'm not advising you to not wear a mask or wear a mask or whatever type of medical treatments you want. If you're a trustee in modern chemistry, that's your business. Doesn't affect me or my position. What I'm telling you is if you're going to hold a certain position, you have to have the knowledge to do so. If you accept a position because you've allowed your verb of the thinking to be modified by fear, that's your choice. And you're going to have to deal with those repercussions. If you choose to fight, if you choose to be aggressive, you're going to have to deal with those repercussions. There are so many different routes that one can take. All by choice, all by consent. And I bring this back to this summons thing. I'm not even going to go into the root meanings of summons. But let's say you accept it, and then you have to go to court. Fiction court. Foreign vessel in dry dock. What happens when you get there? When you walk through those doors, you're transported into a vessel that is no longer in the location that you entered it. Meaning, all the flags are going to have fringe on them, and they're going to have finials on them. It's going to be, you are foreign to them, and they are foreign to you. This is where mechanics like CPAS-C treaty come in, but I'm not going to go into that. I'm going to stick strictly with what I see in those venues to share with you, along with this concept of consent or not consent. So we are talking about a theoretical situation where one has consented and willingly entered that foreign vessel. Now you are in their game. Now you are subject to whatever things they decide to bring to bear upon your psyche and upon your biosphere. And if you've been in those places before, if you have experience, you know what I'm talking about. Because there is a lot brought to bear. And that's why quantum grammar is such a potent tool when one has closure on it, It acts as an aegis, A-E-G-I-S, or safeguard, quote-unquote protection, for your biosphere and your vessel, if you know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing and you have a seed, a crack of a doubt in your psyche, the fiction will rush to that like water behind a dam and bust you open, and who knows where you'll be carried away to. But if you don't have a seed of a doubt, and you do have closure on what it is you're doing, whether it's through the grammar, or whether it's through your own volition as a living man or woman walking into there, you'll be able to hold a position, as long as you don't have that doubt. So you walk in, and then you see that there are indeed different planes inside this room, and you do see a man in a black dress. Now, I know what the kids call men who wear dresses these days. But these guys have been wearing dresses for a very long time. And I myself don't prefer to wear dresses. I never have. It's just not something I do. So I just, you know, just as a guy coming from the hills of the Northeast, I got to question any man who would walk around like that. But okay. Supposedly it's some sort of tradition. Now, everyone that's in that courtroom is treated a certain way, from the attorneys, the prosecutors, the defendants, and the plaintiffs, right down to the old "what is your name" type deal. Without fail, I have seen judges that, well, let me put this a different way. I have yet to see a judge not be smug in the delivery of their communication conveyances. It doesn't matter if they're good-hearted or bad-hearted, they're always smug about it. Why is that? Because they have perched themselves above everyone. This is my opinion. And they will interrupt you anytime they want to. However, you cannot interrupt them. They will talk down to you if they want to. They will insult you if they want to. You cannot do that to them, because if you do that to them, now you're treated with contempt. Not only are you pleading and begging, perhaps, now you're being contemptuous. There's so many different mechanics that can go on in this thing, and I'm not trying to get too specific. I'm just giving it an observation of what I see in a courtroom. With the yellow fringe flag. With the chicken toppers. Wings up, wings down, spears, whatever. We all know that finales cancel the contract of a flag, the Constitution. Yellow fringe means that Constitution has been captured. And you have different levels of boxing which break the continuance of the evidence of what's being presented. What's being presented is on the geometric level playing field of the will of the court. And what is the flag of the will of the court? The 1 by 1.9 grammar flag. The flag of the land during the time of the contract. But there's no one to contract with unless the person on the will of the court takes quote-unquote jurisdiction, commandeers the vessel, voids all the boxes and planes, and brings the grammar safely home to a place where everyone can get closure. Or be provided closure if they do not have that knowledge. Those are rule one, rule equal, judge mechanics. Lastly, I'd like to talk about what I observe when I see these individuals in black dresses talking to defendants and plaintiffs and attorneys and prosecutors and whoever else. Talking as though they know what's best for your children, for you, for your spouse, for whomever you have a problem with. These people in dresses, in black dresses, up on their third plane, their third box, telling you what's best for you, what they think is best for you, their opinion. But their opinion carries weight because they have guns and clubs, paid guns and clubs behind these opinions to force these opinions upon you if you don't accept them. But the thing is you made the choice to walk in there. You made the choice to go in there and contract with them by consent. You weren't forced unless you were already in jail, unless you were arrested. You were not forced into there. You were summoned and you heeded the summons. That's your choice. And I'd like to say that watching these things, and I highly recommend subscribing to these live Zoom rooms. Again, wrapping my head around a court held in a Zoom room is kind of mind-boggling. Again, it's by consent, though. If you consent to join these Zoom rooms, then you consent to their authority being projected through computers, not in one physical location, but all over the place. Just like how people consent to contract through emails. If you consent to it, it's now a contract. If you don't, it's not. The point I'm making is contract is by consent. Period. End of story. And that is one of the deepest psychological challenges that I find people have within this grammar construct. I get, for example, as a personal example, I get people once in a while who will email me and ask me, why are you disqualified on the Last Flag Standing website? You and Ricardo and whatever. And I know that these people only have an idea of what correct sentence structure is in a theoretical sense and not a practical sense. Because if they did have closure on the grammar, a rudimentary grasp of the fundamentals, they would know the answer to that question. Okay? That website and those conditions of state promulgated by those people that run the website are identical to the scenarios that I'm just talking about in the fiction courtrooms. It's identical. The grammar is not correct. There is no evidence provided. It's just someone talking and throwing claims out, like almost like, like taking a shovel in a pigsty and throwing the excrement on a wall and seeing what sticks and seeing who pays attention to what sticks. It's the same thing. It's a fiction tactic using fear, using an adverb scenario to modify someone's verb of the thinking. Because what is an adverb? It's pure modification. There's no continuance of the evidence behind it. There's no evidence provided. The people who do have a rudimentary, fundamental, basic grasp of the grammar that are involved with those people at that website, they don't ever approach me about the grammar because they know better. They know that they can't come at me like that. So the best they can do is just say, well, so-and-so didn't authorize this. Not because of anything being incorrect, because they can't prove anything, because they don't know. This is the same thing with the fiction court. In the same scenario, when you use correct sentence structure in those conditions of state, you have the closure, they don't. They don't know how to act around you. So the only thing they can do is try to insult you, defame you, use logical fallacy after logical fallacy, try to get some kind of crack in your psyche so that their poison waters can rush to that crack and boom, carry you away. And for myself, it's not my volition to be carried anyway. Anywhere. I am the pilot of my vessel, and I'm very confident with my drogues and the condition of state of my vessel. And that's the type of closure that one needs to keep themselves and their family safe in this current now space continuum. And I'll leave it at that. Hope this was an interesting podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. If you have any grammar questions, jasonmatthewg17@gmail.com. If you want to study the grammar, www.youtube.com/JasonMatthewGlass. Thank you.